famous passage, Luke chapter 2. Look at the first 14 verses of Luke chapter 2. Luke chapter 2. Before I read this passage, I just want us to sort of think about the wonder of the incarnation today. Some of us are reading a book by J.I. Packer, Knowing God, and in that book he says, the more you think about it, the more you think about the incarnation, the more staggering it gets. The more you ponder, the more you chew on, the more you meditate on the incarnation, the more staggering it gets. And I think we would all agree with Packer, the more you think about it, the Word becoming flesh and dwelling among us, the more amazing and staggering it gets. So Luke chapter 2, starting in verse 1, please hear this public reading of God's Word. In those days, a decree went out from Caesar Augustus that all the world should be registered. This was the first registration when Quirinius was governor of Syria. And all went to be registered, each to his own town. And Joseph also went up from Galilee, from the town of Nazareth, to Judea, to the city of David, which is called Bethlehem, because he was of the house and lineage of David, to be registered with Mary, his betrothed, who was with child. And while they were there, the time came for her to give birth. And she gave birth to her firstborn son and wrapped him in swaddling cloths and laid him in a manger because there was no place for them in the inn. And in the same region there were shepherds out in the field keeping watch over their flock by night. And an angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were filled with great fear. And the angel said to them, "Fear not, for behold, I bring you good news of great joy that will be for all the people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, who is Christ the Lord. And this will be a sign for you. You will find a baby wrapped in swaddling cloths and lying in a manger." And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly host praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace among those with whom he is pleased." So I want to start with the shepherds here in this famous passage. They're just a group of shepherds. They're keeping watch over their flock by night. My guess is this was just an ordinary night for them, just a totally ordinary night as they're watching over their flock. And then all of a sudden, this ordinary night became absolutely extraordinary when an angel appears on the scene and the glory of the Lord shines around this angel and they are filled with great fear. But then the angel says, verse 10, "Fear not, for behold, I bring you good news of great joy that will be for all the people." I love that line, good news of great joy. What is this good news of great joy that will be for all the people? Verse 11, "For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior who is Christ the Lord." This is, as one pastor said, jump up and down joy. This is good news of great joy. A Savior has been born. Jesus has been born to save us from our sins. This is deep and abiding joy that the angel announces, this good news of great joy. And then suddenly there is a multitude. Verse 13, "Suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly host praising God and saying, 'Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace among those with whom he is pleased.'" One commentator that I read, he said, "I think every one of God's angels was there because this was the most amazing event that had ever happened in the entire universe. All of heaven explodes with praise to God at this news. Glory to God in the highest." That he would send his son to be born in a lowly manger, a lowly feeding trough. Glory to God in the highest, that there is such a salvation. This Christmas message of this passage should make us sing all year round, that Jesus would come and be born in a lowly manger. So I want us to think about the condition in which Jesus was born. Verses 7 and 8, "And she, Mary, gave birth to her firstborn son and wrapped him in swaddling cloths and laid him in a manger because there was no place for them in the inn." I just want to read this. I read this last year, but it's worth reading every year. This is from John Bloom. He's using his imagination to take us to this night, Mary and Joseph trying to get a room in Bethlehem. Joseph arrived in an overcrowded Bethlehem with a wife in advanced labor, only to find that there was no place for them in the inn. "We are completely full. We can't take another person. Please, my wife is about to give birth. We'll take anything with a little privacy." That's Joseph talking. Compassion and exasperation mixed in the fatigued innkeeper's eyes, his tired hand rubbed over his head. "Look, I would give you our own quarters, but we've already given them to others. People are in every nook and cranny. There is no room, especially to have a baby. Joseph was growing desperate. Bethlehem was overrun with people. The Roman census got the Messiah to Bethlehem, but it left him no place to lay his head. Are there other inns here? No, Bethlehem can't keep two inns in business, usually. You don't have any family close by. Mary cried out in pain. Nearly frantic, Joseph spared his words. No, please, is there anyone who could take us in? Everyone I know is already housing guests. Please, God, please, we need a place. Give us a room. Send your angel. Do something. The two men looked vacantly at each other for a tense 5 seconds. Then Joseph choked out, please, we'll take anything. At that moment, a woman appeared behind the innkeeper and said, we have a stable in the back. Rachel, his wife, is about to give birth. We can't put her in the stable. I heard, she answered. But leaving her in the street would be worse, Jacob. I'll get some blankets and clean straw. She looked at Joseph. I'll meet you in the back. I can help with the birth, too. She began to move, then stop. What's your wife's name? Mary. Tell Mary it will be okay. God will help you. Thank you, Joseph said. Thank you, God. But relief collided with regret inside of him. Rachel's help was a gift, but the stable, that's the best he could provide for his trusting wife and this holy child. How could God's son be born in a stable? Mary cried out again, Joseph, no more time. With gentle swiftness, Joseph picked Mary up and carried her toward the back of the inn. Mary's breathing was labored. They have a room? Joseph felt a stab of shame. The only thing left is the stable. It'll be okay. We'll make it clean. The innkeeper's wife is going to help us. God is providing. Thank you, God, she whispered, and then squeezed Joseph's neck as another pain seized her and pushed the light further into the world. A stable was not where Joseph wanted to be that night. It held no romance for him. He was only there out of desperation, but the stable was not about Joseph or Mary. It was about the Son of God making himself nothing. He had come to humble himself to unfathomable depths, so he borrowed a stable for his birth later. After an excruciating death to make propitiation for our sins, he would borrow a tomb. So the question to consider as we come to our time of confession would be, have we lost sight of the wonder of the incarnation during the busyness of this Christmas season? I'll give you a few moments to pray silently, and I'll close us in prayer. Let's go before the Lord in prayer. Father, as we think about the incarnation and the wonder of the incarnation, we would agree with J.I. Packer, who said the more you think about it, the more we think about the incarnation, the more staggering it gets. It truly does get more and more staggering, Father. But Father, we must confess also that during the busyness of this Christmas season, we have lost sight of the wonder of the incarnation. So Father, forgive us for just getting caught up in so many secondary things around Christmas, buying and giving gifts and buying food and making preparations and plans. Father, forgive us for losing sight of the real reason for this Christmas season. But Father, we are thankful for the gospel. We are thankful for the good news of great joy. We are thankful that a Savior has been born in a lowly feeding trough. And we are thankful, Father, that He lived the perfect life that we never could live, and He died that odious death on the cross. We are so thankful that there is, therefore, now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. So, Father, even now as we sing, I pray that we would sing joyfully in light of all that you have done for us. And I pray you'd be with Mark as he preaches from your word. Help us to be attentive to both the reading and the preaching of your word, and help us to be able to apply your word to our lives. We pray all this in Jesus' name. Amen.